It's Thursday, August the 7th, and I am Leonard Witbien with your news at 7 a.m. The Anti-Corruption Commission believes Leo Nandaho may have had prior dealings with fugitive Simaneka Malima in connection with the 480 million Namco corruption scandal. And Valde Mateus for News on One reports that ACC Chief Investigator Oberti Inambao testified during a bail hearing that Nandaho allegedly profited from fuel assets worth approximately 228 million through Erongo Petroleum CC.
Inambao raised concerns that if Nandaho is released on bail, he may interfere with evidence, especially since he was allegedly in contact with Malima before his arrest. Inambao testified that Nandaho presented himself at the ACC only because he had been summoned for questioning and did not expect to be arrested, believing that he was only assisting the investigation.
The University of Namibia is set to establish a School of Nuclear Science Applications targeting at least 100 graduates by 5 years from now. Spokesperson Simon Namesho told News on One's Selma Tapopi that the school will bolster the nuclear sector and enhance local GDP. Pro Vice Chancellor Ellen Namila confirmed the project is in its advanced stages.
Namesho said the university already has a foundational team of six or more academic staff members from the School of Science who hold masters and doctoral degrees in various nuclear-related disciplines. He added that graduates from the Department of Applied Nuclear Science will be prepared to pursue careers in a range of sectors across Namibia and the SADC region.
Social activist Johannes Draseb is calling for President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's intervention in the stalled investigations into the murders reported in Okanja earlier this year. He says his previous efforts to get clarity from the former station commander led nowhere before the officer resigned in July.
So he just asked me so that we cannot make a lot of noise because they are advancing their investigation. And he has kindly, confidently asked me that their teams, so as to just try to hold on. And then I said, okay, if that is the scenario, let me write it to the commander-in-chief, which is the president, the head of state, so that he can assure it, because she was here in April when this thing happens. She was here and she raised a sort of Kenya residence and changed all the stones, or turn around so that we know this thing will be investigated to the later.
Continentally, Rwanda-backed M23 rebels reportedly killed at least 319 civilians last month in eastern Congo, including 48 women and 19 children, according to UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, who cited first-hand accounts to Reuters. Turk described the attacks in Rutshuru, North Kivu province, as producing one of the largest documented death tolls since M23's resurgence in 2022. To the U.S., where President Trump says he will impose a 100% tariff on imports of semiconductors, but he said he would exempt companies making their chips in the U.S. or are in the process of building chip fabrication facilities in the country. Tony Waterman is our correspondent.
That exemption is a huge relief for the world's largest semiconductor manufacturers, because many of them have already announced plans to invest in the U.S. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, for example, is making huge investments in Arizona. Intel is expanding in New Mexico, Oregon, and Ohio, while Samsung Electronics is building out a major chip plant in Texas. These are multi-$100 billion investments, many of which were already taking shape before Trump took office, with the companies drawing on incentives offered in the Biden-era CHIPS Act. Tony Waterman, Washington.
Find all these stories and so much more on our website, futuremedianews.com.na. Future Media News, independent, accurate, and on time.